Hello, everyone. Welcome to this Support Technical Exchange session. The topic for today is Configuring WebSphere Commerce Build and Deploy for Success. Today's presenters are Musa Abraham, Nicola Byrne, and Pirveen Chan. Musa is a software engineer on the WebSphere Commerce support team. He has been part of the WebSphere Commerce support team since 2008, specializing in staging and workspace components. He was also part of the DB2 development infrastructure team, specializing in Unix scripting and automation. He graduated with honors from York University, Canada, with a bachelor's degree in computer engineering. Nicola is a staff software engineer at IBM. She has been a level 2 support engineer for WebSphere Commerce since 2010. Pirveen, appointed technical resolution specialist for WebSphere Commerce in May 2012. Root cause analysis of WebSphere Commerce build and deploy issues are one of his many specialties. At this time, I would like to turn the session over to Musa.
Thank you, Valerie. Good morning, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our presentation on Configuring WebSphere Commerce Build and Deployment for Success. Slide 2, please. Within this presentation, the agenda topics are, we will first talk about the overview of WCBD, followed by WCBD's build and deploy configuration you should follow, and then we'll talk about some of the case studies, and finally end the presentation with hints and tips and references. Slide 3, please. We'll first cover a brief overview of WCBD. Slide 4, please. The WebSphere Commerce build and deployment tool is designed to address the error-prone and time-consuming nature of customized asset deployment. Manual customization can be problematic, especially for production environment where downtime has a negative impact on the business. The WebSphere Commerce build and deployment tool provides a starting point for web admin developers to automate the build and deployment process in a standardized, controlled manner. WCBD tooling supports deployment for J2EE assets to WebSphere application server using the WAS admin tooling. It also supports deployment of web server assets using FTP and SCP-SFTP protocols. Once you have your package built and it's ready, you can deploy it to multiple and different environments. You can deploy your code to production, staging, and test or development environments. Slide 5, please. The first question you may want to ask is, how does WCBD work? There are four main steps involved. This would include, first, extraction of the code from the source configuration management, also known as SCM. Then it executes the build and compilation, then deploys the package to the server environment, then it deploys the package to a toolkit environment. The diagram above shows you the architectural layout of the build process flow. As you can see from that boss diagram, on the build server, the build process runs. It extracts the source code from the source configuration management system and performs all the build-related tasks such as compilation and EJV deployment. It then creates two deployment packages, one for the server and one for the toolkit, which are used to deploy the customized assets. On the server deployment system, the server deployment package is installed, configured, and run. It deploys customized assets to the database, the WebSphere application, enterprise application, and the web server. On the toolkit deployment system, the toolkit deployment package is installed and configured and run. It deploys customized assets to the database and the WebSphere Commerce developer's workspace. Slide 6, please. I'll now talk about the build configuration steps required for WCBD to work accordingly. Slide 7, please. This slide shows a diagram of build process flow. First, the source code is extracted. Next, a global jar is created that is used to compile each module individually. This is to help resolve fast-pass circular dependencies during the compilation phase. For each module that is set to be built in the build properties file, the code is compiled and archive file is created. The type of modules which archive files created include Java, Web, EJV, and more. Finally, the server and the toolkit deployment package are created At the end, if you have set a flag to clean the build working directory, it will clean your working your build working directory as well. Slide 8, please. The build and deployment tool is configured by default to use specific repository structure. The structure reflects the Westfield Commerce Developer Installation Directory. This provides an intuitive code check-in structure for your development team. It's recommended that you use this repository structure to avoid issues. If you're unable to use the default repository structure, WCPD can be configured to adapt to your own project structure via build property flag. The workspace folder contains projects that are part of the Westfield Commerce Developers workspaces. Some common projects that are likely to be modified in customization projects include the stores, Westfield Commerce Server Extension Data, Westfield Commerce Server Extension Logic. And if you have a static web-related changes to the static web project, it holds static web in the web server assets. For each project you are working on, it's recommended to check in only the changed files. For any project that is in the workspace that has not been modified by your customization, do not check in into the repository. This is to avoid unnecessary work in the build and also to reduce the build time. Slide 9, please. So the most important file that you need to configure when it comes to running the build process is the wcpd.build.properties file. There are several variables listed within this property file. Most of these variables are set to default values out of the box, but there are also some variables which you need to configure. In this slide, we have listed some key variables with descriptions and examples that need to be set. Also, from our experience with working with many WCPD build-related issues, we noticed that these are the variables which are misconfigured often. For this chart, the Java, Web, EJB modules need to be set accordingly, comma separated. Make sure that you're passing the correct module name to avoid any errors. The app file for the extract code should be set accordingly to avoid any issues when it comes to extracting code from the source configuration management. The variable extract that file holds this variable. Depending on the operating system you use, when you set the was.home and the wc.home directory variables, make sure to specify the full path directory structure. For example, if you are using the Windows OS, you can use a tilde character substitution for any empty or blank space as a short path. In the above example, we pass the tilde character as we set the shortcut path for program file passes. We will talk more about this in the hints and tips section as well. Slide 10, please. Here we will look at additional important build property variables. Same as previous slide, you will need to make sure that you specify the connector module property if any is used. In feature pack 3, an additional feature was added for WCPD to allow to add an EJB deploy tracing. If you hit any issues during the build process and would like to see the EJB deploy operation in more depth or detail, you can enable this variable. For ear.dir includes and ear.dir excludes, we have seen many issues where customers deploy local configuration files to their other environments. Some configuration files are not meant to be deployed. For example, a toolkit configuration file for WCServer that XML shouldn't be deployed to the runtime server. Under this type of circumstance, you should ensure to use these variables for excluding and including files that you want to deploy. Above, we show an example for ear.dir that excludes where you can state that you do not want to deploy the WCServer.xml file. For EJB.db vendor, it's used to set the DB vendor you're using. If you have multiple machines with different database vendor, you may see an issue during the runtime. Hence, you need to be careful as you set this variable before the build compilation is completed. I'll also show a case study about this later on. For the exe.compile.classpath, if you have any custom class libraries that you build requires, you need to ensure to add them to this variable. We also have a case study about this later on. For ejb.deploy.cogen, we have seen many issues with customers where ejb build process does not generate the Java RMIC classes. Under these cases, you need to make sure to set this property to true to get the build to run successfully. Slide 11, please. We will now talk about the deploy process and configuration. My colleague, Previn, will take over.
Thanks, Musa. Hi, everybody. So in this section, we're going to discuss the deployment process when using WCBD and some deployment configurations to look out for. Slide 12, please. So we're not going to go into detail about every step listed here, but these are the general steps that are followed to complete the deployment process. First, you need to unzip the server deployment package. This would be the package that's created at the end of the build process. Next, you need to set up the static web server assets deployment add script. Now, this step is optional and is usually followed when deploying new web modules, et cetera. And after that, you would set up the WebSphere Commerce configuration file synchronization add script. Now, this step is also optional, and it's followed if there are any updates to the wcserver.xml file as a part of the customization being deployed. You have to make sure that this is the method that you use to copy changes to your wcserver.xml file instead of including the wcserver.xml file as a part of your build package. Next, you would then proceed to configure the server deployment settings, which is the focus of this section. And finally, you would run the server or toolkit deployment process in regular mode or Delta mode. So now let's take a moment to look at the contents of the zip file you have to extract as specified in the first step. Slide 13, please. So everything you see here is the contents of the deployment package that was created by the build process. You can see the lib directory here, which contains the Java libraries required by the deployment process. This directory is automatically filled by the build process and should be left alone in most cases. And then there's the scripts directory, which contains the WSAdmin JSON deployment scripts for deployment to the ear. These scripts are specific to WCBD, and they make calls to the WAS APIs to complete the deployment process. This is why WAS support is often engaged when dealing with deployment issues. And this folder also contains a file including the common label, which includes reusable methods if you choose to customize the deployment process to meet any specific needs. And then you see the source directory. It contains the assets to deploy the subfolders for the different types of projects. And the working directory contains the assets generated during the deployment process, and it's pretty much a temporary directory. And finally, we have the WCBD and batch or shell file, which is used to start the deployment process. Slide 14, please. So this is the toolkit deployment directory, and you can see it contains fewer folders and files. There are some differences to note, though. The backup directory, it contains Derby database and workspace backups. For all other database vendors, you need to manually backup the database based on each vendor's individual instructions. We have the workspace directory, which contains the RAD projects associated with the commerce application being deployed to, and the WCBD RAD and batch file, which is used to start the deployment process. Slide 15, please. And so it is very important to backup your environment. Make sure you take backups of your database and your WebSphere Commerce ear for your server environment. Toolkit environments also need to be backed up, but can be done so by leaving the option enabled in the deployment configuration file. And Derby databases get backed up automatically as a part of the deployment process, so you don't need to worry about those. But you do refer to your database vendor documentation on how to back up your database. And instructions to back up the commerce ear can be found at the link located right there. Slide 16, please. So there are three important configuration files that need to be filled out. There's a set environment bat file, which has the path information for Ant, Java, et cetera. And then we have the deploy private properties file, which contains information like passwords, et cetera, that are needed. This is encoded during the deployment process, but it can also be encoded immediately by running the WCBD encode properties script. And then we have the deploy properties file, which contains the general settings used for deployment, which is what we're going to be talking about in the next slide. Slide 17, please. So there are many different deployment configuration parameters, but for this presentation, we're going to discuss some of the ones that are most important to fill out correctly. So the first, there's the connector module list parameter. And you would add any connector modules you'd like to include during the deployment, possibly because of customizations or additional connector modules you'd like to add. And then we also have the connector module delete list, so you would add the connector modules you want to be deleted there. Then we have the EJV module list parameter, and you would add any EJV modules that you want to deploy. And similarly, we have the EJV module delete list, and you would add any EJV modules that need to be deleted. Slide 18, please. So next, we have the existing web module list parameter. You would add any web modules that already exist on your environment, but you want to update. This is equivalent to a partial app update from the WAS admin console. You use this parameter if you need to deploy a few files, such as jar files, JSP files, configuration, XML files, etc., within a given web module. For example, lobtools.war. In this case, virtual host information and context root information remains the same. And then we have the new web module list. And so you would add any new custom web modules you want to deploy. When using this, you need to make sure that you fill out the context root parameter and the virtual host parameter, both of which we talk in the next slide. And we have the web module delete list parameter, and you would add any web modules you want to get removed during the deployment. Slide 19, please. And as mentioned in the previous slide, this is the virtual host mapping list parameter, and you would add any virtual host mappings for new web modules that you want to deploy if you don't define it. The value of the deployment descriptor web XML of the module is going to get used. And then we have the context root mapping list. And so context root mappings for new web modules that you want to deploy are specified here. And if it's not specified, the default context root, which is the same as the module name, is going to be used. Slide 20, please. Okay, and here we see there are three parameters, JDBC URL, the JDBC driver, and the JDBC driver path parameters here that are important to fill out. You can see the default values are used based on the vendor that you're using. You can also see it makes references to wc.home parameter and other values that are in the deploy properties. And it's important to make sure that those have been filled out correctly. Slide 21, please. And so finally, we have the data source JNDI name parameter, which is the JNDI name of the default data source that will be mapped for entity beans in EJV modules that are deployed. Keep in mind that this value is only used if the EJV deployment descriptor doesn't already contain a set data source. And finally, we have the WS admin properties file parameter, which contains the properties passed on to the WS admin tool during deployment, including the ability to enable WS admin tracing that can, you know, help investigate or troubleshoot any issues that you might run into. Slide 22, please. So now let's take a moment to look at the different ways deployment can be run, which is the normal mode and the delta mode. For normal mode, all assets that are part of the source are deployed to the target environment. This is a mode often used by clients. And since FixPack 3, we introduced the delta mode, where only assets that have changed since the currently deployed assets are deployed to the target environment. This is done by completing the delta preparation process, which outputs new deployment configuration properties file, a new source directory, a new delta summary file that contains a summary of the comparison between the baseline and the target deployments, with all files and their delta types listed, and a log file for the preparation process. Thereafter, you'll run the deployment process as normal. However, you'll basically be passing in another parameter, which is the D-delta mode true, when running the process. And it pretty much makes it so that it uses the output configuration file from the preparation process and the deployment assets from the newly created source directory. There's also a method of completing the delta process using a one-step method where you create the baseline properties file yourself and configure it to run the deployment process using the delta deploy XML as the build parameter. Slide 23, please. So now I'm just going to go over some common deployment issues that you might run into and what configurations to look out for. First, if your EJVs were deployed but data source settings are wrong after deployment, here are some things to check. Make sure the EJVs were not included in the full EAR directory. That directory should only contain non-module EAR assets like properties, XMLs, etc. And make sure the EJVs are located in the module directory. Some parameters to check in the WCBD deploy properties file are the working module directory, the EJV module list, and the EJVs you're deploying should be in here. Make sure not to include the extension in the file name. That's actually added as a part of the deployment process. And the mapping option file, if you have a CSV file with additional mapping options, the JDBC URL, the JDBC driver, and the JDBC driver path, and finally the data source JNDI name. Slide 24, please. And another situation you might come across is web modules being deployed but JDBC and virtual host settings being wrong after deployment. And for situations like this, parameters to check in the WCBD deploy properties file would be the full module directory and the module directory based on which fixed path you're on, and working module directory, and the existing web module list. So if the module is being updated and has already been deployed as new once before, or came with the base version of Commerce, in this case, a partial app update is performed. And you would add it, make sure you check the new web module list if this is a non-existing module being deployed for the first time, in which case you would also have to check the context route mapping list and the virtual host mapping list that was discussed earlier. Slide 25, please. An example of the previous issue is deploying LobTools. LobTools must be deployed as an existing module, as it is a web module that came with the base version of Commerce, so it must be listed under the existing web module list in the WCBD deploys properties XML. And in the case you're deploying to a toolkit, you would include it in the open Laszlo web module list. Slide 26, please. So now we're going to go through a few different case studies to see the types of problems that did occur as a result of WCBD not being configured correctly. There are many things that can go wrong, but we find that the following represents variations of issues that PMRs are often opened with. Slide 27, please. The first case study we're going to look at is the build issue that we often come across. In this case, the build process was failing for a newly created module in WCBD. When looking at the errors in the WCBD logs, we see that there were references to a class more executives, and it was throwing an error with regards to its method listening decorator. Slide 28, please. And the first thing you need to do is see if the jar class containing the method exists and that it's listed in the property extension compile class path, which basically allows you to identify the class path of the libraries without having to copy the library over to a specific folder. Muse discussed this earlier. And in this case, it was specified. So next, you move on to check if there were multiple files in the same location that contain the same method. This can happen for different reasons, but the most common cause is that there are newer versions of the same jar. And that's when we found out that there were multiple libraries for Guava. Both a version 5 and the version 12. Both these versions of the libraries contained the more executors class and the listening decorator method. And what was happening was during compilation, the first Guava library was found and loaded and was being used, when in fact it was actually looking for the updated implementation of the version 12 Guava library. And as a result, it ended up throwing the errors that we saw in the earlier slide. Slide 29, please. And so to resolve this issue, there were three possible options we recommended. One was removing the older Guava version 5 file and see if the newer Guava 12 file was compatible. Another option was making the changes to your customization based on one version of the Guava library instead of both. And finally, it was just to take the product ETL, which was their project, out of the compile project. So. And slide 30, please. And so now Muse is going to take over and go through the next case study with you. Muse?
Thank you, Pravin. So in this case study, we'll talk about the SQL syntax error exception related to the build after the code has been deployed. During the code deployment on Toolkit, when the developer tests a code change to the EJB bean, it works fine. However, when the same EJB code is deployed to the server and it's being accessed on the runtime file, you see the SQL syntax exception error. Below, we have the type of error you could see, you might see in the system out log. Slide 31, please. So the root cause of this issue is that the EJB deployed at DB vendor property variable was not set correctly. If you have different types of DB vendor for your development environment compared to your other environments in runtime, you may see an exception like this. So it's important that you have the same type of DB vendor set in all your environments. And to correct this issue, you'll need to reset these variables and rerun the build and then deploy. Once this is done, this issue should be resolved. Slide 32, please. Now, Nicola will take over and talk about case study number 3. Nicola?
Thanks, Musay. So we wanted to show the importance of configuring the WCBD build and deployment properties files correctly. This case study shows an example of a failed deployment caused by the incorrect configuration of the wsadmin.properties.file parameter. what you see in the deployment log, that's the WCBG deploy.log, is something like the error shown on this slide. As you can see, it's complaining about missing files, securityprox.py and ltpal.securityprox.py. What a user would normally do when they see a message like this is to navigate to the directory listed. In this case, that's the was install directory /bin, and check if the file exists. When we find out then that the file does exist, we might then spend a lot of time trying to figure out why the WCBG deploy process can't access the file. Perhaps it's a permissions issue or something similar to that. Slide 33, please. So the point here is that a lot of time can be wasted trying to debug an issue like this when the cause of it is quite simple. This particular issue is caused because of the wsadmin.properties.file being misconfigured in the wcbd deploy.properties, and it's resolved by updating this property to the correct value. Slide 34, please. Hints and tips. So we just put together some hints and tips that are important to keep in mind when using WCBD. Slide 35, please. If you need to add some more logging to help debug an issue, you can add options to the command line for debug or for verbose mode. This outputs timestamps for the tasks that are run in the build and deployment process. That was introduced in Fix Pack 1. You should back up the application before running WCBD. That way you can easily recover from any failures. Out-of-box commerce files should only be maintained by fixpacks and iFixes. If you check in, build, or deploy out-of-box files, you run the risk of overriding newer versions of the files with older versions, and it's really difficult to figure out which files got replaced. Often the only way to recover from that sort of a problem is to drop and recreate the instance. One final tip then is to be careful when setting paths in the properties files. If the path contains a space, this won't be picked up properly unless it's specified in inverted commas. For example, program space file is common in Windows installations. Musay touched on this earlier. You can use the directory shortcut, example, program -1 was the example Musay mentioned earlier. You can use that without inverted commas and it's going to be fine. Slide 36, please. If you're planning to use WCBD, we suggest that you bookmark these links for reference. All of the properties discussed today are detailed in the Info Center and a lot of other additional properties. The last link is a tutorial for using WCBD, which we recommend, particularly if you are new to the WebSphere Commerce build and deploy tool. Slide 37, please. In summary of today's presentation, we discussed the architectural overview of WCBD, how to configure, and some case studies. What we hope you've taken away from this is the importance in understanding the configuration parameters and how to configure them correctly. Slide 38, please. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. We recommend visiting the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site to find out more about upcoming WSTE webcasts, like the one you attended today. Musay and I will present a webcast on July 24th on maintenance installation issues. There are also a number of other upcoming webcasts from the Commerce team, and you can get all those details on this site, as well as access previously recorded presentations. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. Visit websphereusergroup.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistance has self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The SOAR tool is available for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. Finally, the My Notifications link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. Thank you for joining our webcast today. I'll hand you back over to Valerie at this point.
Thank you, Nicola. Also to Musay and Parveen for a great presentation. That concludes the presentation portion of today's session. Finally, remember to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with subject WSTE subscribe. Once you get the mailing list, you can subscribe. Also, If there is a topic you would like to see scheduled, or if you have any comments that would help us improve future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. We welcome any ideas you may have. I am moving to the question and answer session now. I see we have a question in the group chat.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're just going to read it out loud so everybody can know what the question is.
A WCS configuration. Definitely do exclude local wcserver.xml, but sometimes configuration changes are only a subset of the XML we want to change. Deploy target environment.properties can handle target of a full file, but for WCS configuration file, we would only update a portion of the XML that hits every environment. How can this be achieved?
Yeah, so for the first question, currently, I don't think we have any script or protocols to handle such cases. You may need to add additional scripts to let you make the changes as a part of the whole build script and pass it in. But currently, we don't have such a functionality where you can deploy a portion of the changes to a configuration file. And I see there's another question. We're just reading it up right now. Give me a second. Okay, so question states, while backup and restoring all permissions are changed for OPT IBM with Commerce under profiles, directory, and cells.
Right, the ear.
So from pretty much the ear directory, result static assets are not accessible by HTTP server, which is installed in the same host host half to restore it. I can see there is a chmod operation on the cell folder from the application's profile. How to avoid this situation? Also, permission changes and restoring. Okay. Yeah. And then the second question says, how to automate the changes detection and include to build package only change files. Just one second. Four, where he talks about how to avoid a situation where the static assets are not being accessible. Would the way WCBD tooling works, as we do the deployment for static assets, we deploy it on HTTP server side. So I may need further information from you, but technically, you should be getting the static asset from the web server side, so therefore you shouldn't be looking for it in the application profiles directory. But anyhow, to discuss more about this, maybe you can send us an email, and we can certainly address your question. And secondly, you asked how to automate changes, detection, include a build package only change file. WCBD tooling is designed so that it can detect changes related to modules and automatically deploy them. This is discussed in the portion where Priyavin talked about earlier for Delta changes. And if you have further questions on that, you can certainly send us an email. We can give you a full background on that as well.
We have one more question, a follow-up. It says, how does Delta mode work? How does WCBD know which files to change? Musa?
So this is Jitendra. I'm the WCBD component owner here at IBM. So the way that the Delta process works is when you do a build, you perform a Delta build in where what you have to do is you have to provide a previously built package, WCBD package, and so when you do a new build, what it will do is it will take the old package and then compare your new changes with that old package and only take the deltas from there. So, and then only those deltas, when you do the those deltas will be included in the new package, and then when you deploy it, only those deltas are deployed.
Are there any more questions? If not, we thank you for participating, and at this time, we will conclude the web conference. We hope that the information presented today
has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation, and we hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange website. Remember, within a few days, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site. Thank you, and this concludes the webcast. You may disconnect now.